It's Your Money with the Investor Coach, Paul Nichols, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul believes education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will lead to peace of mind. He uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading financial minds at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. You do not need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisor. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, and member of Strategic Coach Quarterly. Get ready for some common sense clarity coaching with the investor coach, Paul Nichols.
Good morning and welcome to the show. This is your host, Paul Nichols. Boy, it seems like it's been a while since I've been in here, actually. Last week, of course, we had the monstrous snowstorm and planned on coming in, but had some problems, obviously, dealing with the snow, so I think they played a sports show. So for those of you that tuned in, you loyal listeners, at least it was a Super Bowl Sunday that you got a sports show, so we'll try to make up for it this week. And then the previous week, I was in California, and we replayed Ben Nevigen's interview, which we have gotten tremendous reviews from. For those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, my name is Paul Nichols. This is It's Your Money. It is a syndicated radio show, part of Coach's Corner. Every Saturday, we take an hour and pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. And today, I have a hodgepodge of things that I want to talk about, just kind of catch up on a few things. I wanted to mention a couple housekeeping items, if I may. First of all, a lot of times, for those of you that listen regularly, you know that Luke Miller comes on with me. Luke works in my office. A few weeks ago, Luke had some emergency back surgery that he anticipated but wasn't planning on it happening as quick as it did. But for a fairly young guy and is about 30 years old, to deal with something like this is obviously pretty traumatic. So to both of our dismay, he will not be in the office or back here for a couple months, it looks like. Apparently, it's about a couple month recovery time. So, if you are a praying person, if you would offer Luke up in your prayers, we would appreciate that and hope that he has a speedy recovery and there's no long-term damage to him and what he's dealing with. He's got a family of four, so, well, five counting his wife, I guess. But anyway, so if you'll pray for Luke, we would appreciate that. And hopefully we'll wish him best and that he'll be back in the saddle here sometime soon. We've been doing some retirement planning courses lately. Just finished one up last night and have another set starting on Monday and Tuesday. So if you're listening to this Saturday morning, Monday and Tuesday at South Hills Business School, I think we've only got a couple seats left if we have any, but you can get into that course. It's $50. It's a 6-hour course, 230-page textbook, and with that, you get an hour with me to talk about some of the specifics from the course. So if you'd like to take advantage of this, it is the last minute because of the snow day last week. It got moved to Monday and Tuesday of this week coming up. So next Monday and Tuesday, I'll be at South Hills Business School from 6:30 to 9:30 doing a Retirement Planning Today course. Now, obviously, you would need to register. You could call South Hills Business School and ask for Peggy Reams. Peggy Reams, 278-1990. Peggy Reams at South Hills Business School can get you registered. And we've got a new set. A bunch of books showed up today, so we know we're going to have plenty of manuals and the books for that. So for those of you, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you know, you don't have to be at retirement to go to a Retirement Planning Today course. In fact, this course is taught at over 200 universities around the country. In fact, I'll be doing this same course in May at San Diego University. It's a great course. We get rave reviews, and it's awesome. It doesn't matter whether you're retired, 5 years from retirement, 10 years from retirement. In fact, for those folks that are proactive in nature, you really want to start doing some serious planning 5, if you can, 10 years prior to retirement. When I say not just accumulating and saving money, but actually starting to position it in the types of accounts that it's going to be best suited for down the road. So this course gives you a good cross-section of A to Z. We're going to talk about Roth conversion and taxes and insurance and Social Security and Medicare and payouts from pension plans and 457s and 403Bs and IRAs and all, just about everything that relates to the financial arena. It's a wonderful course. So for those of you that are proactive, got $50, want to come spend 6 hours and learn a lot about what's going on in the financial arena, and we give a lot of nuggets. The course itself, the book, you could read and get a feel for what's going on, but what I do in the 6 hours, it really should take 12 hours to do it, by the way, is offer a lot of interjection of how these things apply to real-world planning. So it's really a wonderful course. We get rave reviews all across the country. So for those of you that are feeling any confusion, maybe a little lack of direction, not the clarity that you would like to have, especially right now in the trying times that some people believe that we're in, and that may be you, if your money's tight, obviously, then it may be a great opportunity for you to come and get educated. Again, we get rave reviews. So South Hills Business School, Peggy Reams, 278-1990. And then I wanted to offer up a couple other quick commercials, and then we'll get into some meat. iTunes. For those of you that may be older folks and are not familiar with the podcast revolution and all that kind of stuff, there's a site called iTunes.com that you can go to, and you can download it. And basically from there, they have a store where you could download any kind of music you could possibly imagine, books on audio. And there's a lot of podcasts there that are free from everything you can imagine, from gardening to auto repair and finances. And these are experts or people from around the country that record shows or whatever. You can go to iTunes without an iPod, and you can listen to all this information right from your computer. So if you would like to learn more about our show and what we do, you can go to iTunes and type in It's Your Money in the search part of the store, and all our shows will come up, and you can listen to them right there. Or you can go to our website, financialabundanceinc.com, financialabundanceinc.com. I was in a strategy session last week with about 20 individuals from around the country. These are mostly men. There's a couple ladies in there that have practices around the country. We all have like thinking, and we're concerned about the direction of the country. And one of the things that I noticed, I picked up a couple nuggets that I'm going to share with you today, but one of the things I found interesting is these practices represent Detroit, Chicago, Orlando, Pennsylvania, Salt Lake, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I mean, these are folks from all around the country. And what I'm realizing, and what I realize in working with other professionals around the country and getting together and talking about some of the issues and things that are going on, strategies, political climate, etc., is that there's a tremendous lack of clarity in this country as it relates to finances. Let's be honest, as it relates to history, economic history, as it relates to just regular American history. We're working hard to offer some clarity. And it wasn't until I was in this session and we started talking about a few guys have radio shows and stuff in that group that I realized we had so many shows on iTunes, because one of the guys pulled it up and said, geez, Paul, you got almost 50 shows on there. I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize that. There's just about everything on there that you would want to know about finances. We've done some show on it at some time or another. If you would like to learn more about any specific subject, then by all means, go to the website, financialabundanceinc.com, and there's a section you can ask questions, request advisors' guides, and so on. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you, besides promoting the fact that that information is there, is that I have found that as time goes by in my life, and I often realize some of the things I thought were true turned out not to be as more life experience takes place. And, you know, it goes back to the whole format of our show, I guess, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. We're working hard to try to bring clarity to people in this country, because we know that education, in my opinion, equates to clarity. And with clarity, you can have confidence. And with confidence, you can have peace of mind about your investments. I know it's attainable, ladies and gentlemen, because I've watched many people come in and have a heavy heart or concerned about this or that or the other thing, go through a process, get educated, and the confidence is incredible. The body language alone, Luke has often mentioned this to me, goes, you know, Paul, it's amazing, the body language of people coming in and after they have gone through some planning processes and education predominantly, the body language going out is totally different because now they know what's going on and they know what they know and what they need to know. And you really don't need to know everything. You don't need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. So take advantage of the information, whether it be iTunes, WJAC-TV. We are the investor coach for the NBC affiliate here, WJAC-TV Channel 6. We've got a bunch of bonus coaching on their website. They created a page just for us called It's Your Money. So there's a plethora, yes, I said plethora, ladies and gentlemen, of information out there that you can take advantage of. I hope you do take advantage of it. Now, with that being said, pay attention, listen very intently for the next couple minutes. I'm going to give you a nugget that'll save you a bunch of money. Let me set this up by saying that I believe that when I ask the question, do you believe tax rates are going to be higher, lower, or the same in the future, I consistently get the exact same answer, which is everybody believes they're going to be higher in the future. Also, when I start to educate people, people start to realize that the concept of them being in a lower tax bracket after retirement has not come to pass. But in fact, most people we find are in the same tax bracket or higher. So if you believe that, in fact, taxes may go up in the future, and if you believe this is the lowest tax bracket you're probably going to ever be in your life, I'm going to encourage you to start looking at something during this tax season. And I'm going to encourage you to start to max out your tax bracket. Max out your tax bracket. What do you mean by that, Paul? Well, I'll tell you what I mean by that. Basically, what I'm saying is, here's how the marginal tax brackets work. You might have 0 to 16,000, you pay 10%. From 16,000 to 67, you would pay 15%. From 67 to 137,000, you pay 25%. Those are marginal brackets. The average of those make your effective tax rate. You pay some at 10, some at 15, some at 25, some at 28, some at 33. Depends on where you end up with, okay? Now, pay attention very closely. If you believe, in fact, that taxes are going to be higher in the future and that, in fact, you adopt my thinking, which I believe right now is the lowest tax rate you will ever pay in your life, then you may want to look at maxing out your bracket. Let's say that you come in at, for example, $50,000 a year. That's what you make. Well, we know the tax bracket to the next break is 67. So in that year, you might want to consider taking out $15,000 of your IRA, staying under that bracket, still in the same bracket, pay the tax on it, and then now you have an after-tax account, or that's something that you potentially can convert into the Roth. Now, there's some more steps with the Roth, but conceptually, what I want you to understand is this concept of maxing out your tax bracket. If you believe taxes are going to be higher in the future, if you believe you're in the lowest tax bracket, which I believe that's true for the vast majority of people, then you may want to start managing your IRA and your tax bracket as you're heading toward retirement. Now, obviously, if you're 59 and a half or below, there's a penalty there. You got to play that out, okay? So you got to start looking at some of this stuff. It's called managing your tax bracket. It's a little nugget I picked up that I think is just awesome. Now, it doesn't apply to everyone. You may need to get a little help with this from your advisor, but go and talk to him or give our office a call and say, hey, explain this maxing of the tax bracket thing. I could show you where it could save you a substantial amount of money down the road. Well, this first segment's already almost over. One more thing. I am, as a result of Luke, my main man being on medical leave for a couple months, we're going to move him to another position when he comes back, and I am going to be hiring an admin. So if anybody's looking for a full-time job here in State College, have some office or administrative skills, give our office a call. We pay very well. You get 1 month free the first year. In other words, every you work 11 months, get paid for 12. We take 30 free days every year. So if you're interested, have an application, want a job, I'm looking for someone that has some administrative skills, some people skills, someone that can deal with paperwork and that type of thing, very competitive position, give our office a call. Wow. Boy, a lot of commercials in this segment. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't been on the show for a while. So, and boy, I'll tell you, I felt really weird last week listening to that show, the sports show, when I wasn't on there. It just felt weird because I hadn't been on for a while. But we're back. And We're not live, but next best thing, pre-recorded. I'll be right back after the commercial break, and we'll get into a little more meat. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. It's Your Money, part of Coach's Corner. If you need a second opinion, you know where to get it, right here at Financial Abundance. We do that sort of thing all the time. If you get a set of recommendations or a proposal from an advisor, get a second opinion. We are happy to provide it to you. If what you are doing, you're not sure about, or you're not certain about the fees, you're not certain about the risk, you're not certain about the diversification, you're not certain about the redundancy inside of the fund, you're not even sure about the fund itself. Are you doing what's suitable for your situation? If you're not sure, ask. We are happy to help you figure it out. Just call us anytime during the week at 814-867-5745 or check out our website, financialabundanceinc.com. Again, it's 814-867-5745 or our website, www.financialabundanceinc.com. Welcome back. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, and your host of It's Your Money. You are listening to It's Your Money, which is brought to you by Financial Abundance every Saturday from 9 to 10. This is part of Coach's Corner. Following my show is Ken Pasch, the leadership coach, with his show, Unlocking Your Full Potential. And he deals with a lot of issues. I know Ken works real hard at coming in and being live every week. He really tries to get to work with people and callers. So, he's really been committed at coming in live to allow you all to call and ask him questions. And then, of course, following Ken is Brian Allen, the mortgage guru. And all three of us collectively pull back the curtain on our respective industries and expose the truth about those industries in an attempt to enlighten the listeners and create some clarity out there. And one of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about today that I've been noticing that I think may be helpful to some of you out there, I've been getting a number of questions via the website, whether it be the WJC TV, where you can go and ask the coach a question, or our own website, Financial Abundance Inc. And most of the questions have been in the same vein, if you will, that being, is it too late for me to start an investment program? Is it too late for me to plan for retirement? I'm going to continue to work. Is it too late? And I've been surprised by how many people have been asking that question, and not that they don't understand or anything like that, but what's interesting to me is how little education there is out there to find out about the financial services industry and IRAs and Roths and all that kind of stuff. Now, the internet's made it a little bit easier, but you can find out a lot of information about certain products and strategies and how they work, but it's very difficult to implement them. And oftentimes we need help to muddle through the pitfalls, if you will. So I'm going to offer up a few suggestions this morning for those of you that are wondering about whether you should start an investment program. Is it too late? I don't make enough money. Whatever your issue is, I'm going to offer you a couple suggestions that may make a difference. They may not. It may be academic for you, or it may be something that really can help you. Let me start out by saying that, first of all, it's never too late to do anything, in my opinion. My grandfather has a saying. I've heard it 1,000 times if I've heard it once. Today's the first day for the rest of my life. And my grandfather's 92. He still says that. And I believe it's never too late. The question is, are you committed and ready to start doing something? And what's the motivation for doing it? If you're going to put money away, there's a reason for it. it's going to be for your security, for your income down the road, for preservation purposes. It could be for healthcare needs. It could be to pass to your heirs. It really makes no difference. Whatever the reason is that you're saving for, it's important that you basically just start saving. Now, is it too late? It's never too late. It's never too late to start an investment program. So let's talk about that. First of all, it's never too late. Secondly, some people say, well, you know, I don't make enough money. I mean, I get by, I make a living, I work hard. Most of you do. Most all of us do. Look, we work hard to make a living. We all are broke at different levels. Let me tell you something. I learned many, many years ago in working with people that everybody is broke at a different level. And what I mean by that is kind of interesting. You know, a fella, you know, he's out of high school. He's working to put himself through college. He makes 10, 20 grand a year, more money than he ever made in his life. And then he or she gets out of college and they get a job. They're making 30 grand a year. And they're going, wow, this is, man, I'm loaded, you know. Next thing you know, you get married and you're making 40, 50 grand a year into your 30s, whatever that is. And what I noticed is that we just spend up to the level of our income. And that's what I mean by broke at a different level. Now, some of these higher income earners that are broke at a different level, that's because they're buying so many toys to impress the neighbors. Now, I've never been one of these that caught up with the Joneses, you know, but I've always thought about it. You know, why would you spend money you don't have to impress people you don't like? But anyway, we're all broke at a different level. So it doesn't matter whether you're trying to save $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $100 a month, or $10 a month, okay? That's the situation you have. That's where you're at. Do you throw your hands up and say, well, I can't save. I don't make enough money. I'm a, you know, I'm just a Joe Lunch Bucket. I, you know, I'm dumb. I'm this. I mean, well, poor me. I mean, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff, okay? I am not someone who adopts the woe is me mentality. I believe that you shouldn't fake yourself out. We're a result of the choices we've made up till now. And whatever that is, good, bad, or indifferent, we got to deal with where we're at and move forward. So, you know, sometimes some of you may get the impression when you hear me go, boy, Paul's kind of strong in some areas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I said it before, I'm strong because I've gone through a lot of struggle. And, you know, I don't want to hear any of these excuses and woe is me types of things when I was that person 25 years ago, when I was that person that was broke, that had to go into the military in order to come up with money for school. So struggling. So, you know, I don't want to hear excuses. I believe, and I was sharing this with a couple today, I believe when a good man's down, when a good lady's down, when a good person's down, if you love that person and appreciate that person, kick them in the butt and see if they get up. And you know doggone well, a good man and a good woman will stand up, dust himself off, turn themselves around, and start stroking it again. So let's first of all get away with all the woe is me, the excuses, the reasons why you can't do something, because look, I'm not going to accept them, certainly if you're talking to me. I will not accept excuses from myself. I'm not going to accept any of them from my clients or people I'm trying to coach up. So with all that being said, put the excuses aside, put the woe is me aside, put the crybaby stuff aside. Let's grow up and realize that we got to take responsibility for ourselves. Now, that applies to a very small percentage of you listening, but I'm hoping that's going to help for those of you that are listening, that that does apply to. And if it makes you mad, then I'm on track, aren't I? If it makes you upset for me to share that with you, ladies and gentlemen, friends, then maybe there's some truth to it. You know, what I've noticed, a lot of people want to, you know, they want to put the blame off somebody else. Well, I haven't been able to save because of this. I've got kids or this, that, or the other thing. Well, my friends, every time you point a finger at someone else, there's three pointed back at you. So, you know, let's move on. Let's quit with the woe is me for those of you that applies to, and let's talk about, okay, yes, it's never too late to start. Paul, how do we start an investment program? Well, the first thing you got to do is look at your budget and find out, do you have some disposable money at the end of the month? If you don't, then I strongly encourage you look at the 30-day challenge. It's a blog I did on CDT. I think we talked about it on a radio show. For the next 30 days, write down every penny you spend. Cup of coffee, pack of gum, whatever it is. Write down every penny you spend. And at the end of the 30 days, look back at where every penny's gone. And you might find, with a little bit of just diligence, you might be able to look and say, you know, I can squeeze out an extra $5 a week here, an extra $10 a week here. And in the beginning, just throw that in a jar somewhere, just or put it in a money market account or a savings account, okay? Look at your budget, 30-day challenge. Hey, do I have any money left over? You always got to work backwards at whatever it is. This is something you want to teach your kids and you young folks. If you got a goal, whatever it is, let's say, for example, it's to buy a car. If your goal is to buy a car and it's $10,000 for that car, for example, well, you got to work backwards from it. What would it cost me to buy that car if I did payments over 3 years? Okay, or over 4 years max, okay? Well, it might cost me, I'm just pulling numbers out, $100 a month, okay? Well, you know, you want a new car? Well, can you go out and earn $100 a month extra somewhere to pay for the car? You got to work backwards from it, okay? So whatever your issue is, retirement. Retirement. I need $50,000 a year in retirement. My Social Security and my pension make up 40. I got a $10,000 deficit. Well, that's why you save the money through all the years to go to that account and say, now I need to pull that 10 grand every year out that I'm retired, and that's going to be my income. So you got to work backwards. If you're just starting, it's hard to work backwards, obviously. We know that there is a number you want to get to and save, but you look at the 30-day challenge. Carve out some discretionary spending, if you can, from your budget. Deny yourself a little bit. You know, if it's tough for you to save, don't buy the coffee. You know, smoke less. You know, maybe take your lunch instead of buying it or whatever. You know, look, you're smart people. Figure it out. Come on, for real. Seriously. You know, just look at yourself 30 days and say, where can I find some money? Now that you have some money, the question becomes, where do I put it? Okay. I've realized I got to save some money. It's never too late. You know, I've managed to come up with an extra $100 a month. Congratulations, yay team. Good for you. Now what? Well, we want to take that $100 a month and you want to probably put it in a savings account at first until you get a little bit of money. You might need to get $1,000 or a couple thousand up where you can invest it. Depending on your age, what you're trying to accomplish. If you're just starting an investment program, really, regardless of your age, more than likely, you're probably going to need to put it in a well-diversified portfolio in the market. Because to put it in a CD or anything else probably wouldn't make sense. But until you have enough money, $1,000 or $2,000 to start that account, just put it in a savings account or whatever. But here's what I'm going to strongly suggest you do. Ladies and gentlemen, treat this savings, whatever that discretionary income is, let's say you're able to look at that and say, you know what, we can come up with $100 a month or $1,000 a month or $5,000 a month or whatever it is, okay? What you need to do is at the beginning of every month, write a check for that. Treat it like a bill. You know, in my household, all the savings that we have is treated like a bill. It's not discretionary whether we do it or not. This is part of the bills. Because you know what I've noticed? I pay my bills. And you pay your bills. Okay? So if we made our retirement account a bill, then it would make sense. This is why 401ks are popular and they can payroll deduct it. They give you the money before you get it. Okay? What you got to do, in my opinion, is write yourself a check. If you've never heard of The Richest Man in Babylon, it's a book written by Og Mandino. Wonderful book. It does have religious connotations to it. It's, you know, biblically based. But the idea is about savings and paying yourself. And I strongly encourage you, can get it at the library. I think Mr. Og Mandino's gone now. But man, he's written some wonderful books. Richest Man in Babylon. Grab it if you ever get a chance. All it basically talks about is paying yourself first. You know, take the 5% or 10% or whatever you're going to allot and pay yourself first. And, you know, if you want to get a new toy or a new gadget or a new widget or something, then that bill needs to be paid first. It's only after you pay that bill along with all your other bills do you say, okay, now we can go to the movies or get a video or go buy a widget or something, okay? So, you know, the truth will set you free. The 11th commandment, thou shall not fake thyself out. And if you do, then shame on you. Okay, shame on you. It's never too late to start, ladies and gentlemen. You can do it. Do the 30-day challenge. Find yourself $50, $100. I know it's tight for a lot of you out there. I know, you know, the economy's tight. Look, I understand all that. I deal with it every day, okay? That doesn't mean that you throw your hands up and say, woe is me, you know? You know, let me share something with you. I remember I used to do a lot of public speaking, and one of the things I would talk about is this whole idea of problems. Now, I think I've got a couple minutes. I'm going to share this with you. I realized that when my upbringing, I had kind of been brought up with an entitlement mentality, kind of a, we're a victim of life, we're poor, the man's keeping us down, and all that kind of crap. And this is just the mentality of my family. Some of them have changed by my example, some of them haven't. But what's interesting is I realized later in life that we've all got problems. And I kind of think of problems as like a chair. Right now, I'm standing in the studio, and I've got this big chair next to me, and I'm going to pick that chair up and just put it on my shoulders. Now, obviously, if I'm walking around the street and the office and the studio with the chair, that's a lot of baggage to be carrying, isn't it? You know, and that's kind of like your problems. What a lot of people, what we want to do is we want to go and show everybody our problems. Look at the problem I have. Look at this. Look at my health, or look at my this, or look at my this situation. Well, the fact of the matter, folks, to be honest with you, half the people you tell are glad you got the problem. The other half probably don't care, okay? What I encourage people to do is think of your problems like a chair. We've all got them. Everybody has them, okay? The only one that doesn't are sitting in the graveyard. Their problems are over, okay? Think of it as a chair, a big heavy chair that you're carrying around, okay? And what I encourage you to do is just put that chair down. Just put that chair down. The problems, stewing over them, talking about them, commiserating over them, griping about them, does not change them. You're right back where you started. You still got the problem. So maybe we should, instead of focusing on the problem and sharing that with everyone, how about we focus on the solution? I believe if you ask yourself, and I'm getting into Ken's realm right here, I believe if you ask yourself empowering questions, you're going to get empowering answers. But if you sit around and woe is me and why me and where, that's all you're going to get is nothing back. Ask yourself, how do I solve the problem? I got this issue. How do I fix it? What do I got to do? What do I got to change? Who do I got to talk to? Who do I got to get with? And start focusing on, not focusing on the problems, but the solutions. Well, as I would talk about this on stage, I would have this big chair that I've been carrying around while I'm talking about this. And I said, look, it's just a matter of putting the chair down. Well, then I was dragging the chair around to make the point. It's not that easy, is it? Easy said, Paul. Yeah. Hey, brother, you don't know what my problems are. You know, if you had my problems, well, I'll guarantee you, I did an exercise with a group of people one time, and everybody wrote their problem down and put it in a hat. And then we passed the hat back around and had somebody take a problem out. The vast majority of the people wanted to put their problem back. They wanted to get their problem back, not the one they picked out of the hat. Why am I sharing this with you? Well, it all starts with accountability and responsibility. Financial acumen, understanding, education, that's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to learn this stuff. And I want to encourage you that it's not too late. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of being lucky or not. Luck, laboring under correct knowledge, okay? The harder I work, the luckier I get. There's certain fortune that, you know, obviously people that walk in your life that are special. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize if you're struggling, you're wondering whether you can start an investment plan, you can, and you should, and you should stop with the lollygagging and make it happen. If you want to know more about it, get on our website. There's plenty of information. Give our office a call. I want to help you. I want to encourage you, okay? I want you to realize you can put some money away. I got to run. I'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Paul Nichols, your host and investor coach. You're listening to It's Your Money, which is part of Coach's Corner, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can result in peace of mind. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Isn't it interesting that I just had this thought, we don't feel like we need to know everything about a lot of areas in our life, you know, how to fix a car, you know, how to build a house, whatever. We don't need to know all those things, but yet in the financial arena, we feel like we want to know everything. And it's too much. What you got to know is what applies to you and those different types of things. But anyway, I left the last segment with I don't know if you would call it laying down the gauntlet for some of you out there that haven't started your plans, thinking it's too late, thinking you can't do it. I want to encourage you that you can, and that you can do it. And it's just a decision away, ladies and gentlemen. Oftentimes that's what it is. Let's move on. I wanted to share some stuff with you. Now, this is something a client sent over to me that I thought was really interesting. I'm just going to read it to you. It talks about the expanding the savers credit and some of the things the government wants to do, the automatic IRA. And if we have some time updating the 401k regulations, but good, but not enough. That's how academics and advisors characterize President Obama's plan to help Americans save more for retirement. President Obama wants to expand tax credits that reward retirement savers, and he wants to require all employers to provide workplace-based retirement savings plans, the so-called automatic IRA. Many of the measures are based on sound research conducted by renowned behavioral finance experts, and they'll help middle-class Americans, some experts say, but experts also say the measures don't go far enough and they ignore other equally larger, if not larger, financial issues. Now, isn't this kind of what I was talking about later? Ladies and gentlemen, do you really need someone to babysit you like that? Do you need someone to come in and say, hey, listen, you're not smart enough to save for yourself. We're going to make you do it. I mean, this kind of stuff just chaps my, it just is ridiculous to me. This is interesting. Generally, I think the proposal could be helpful in strengthening the retirement security of working Americans, says Jody DiCenzo of Behavioral Research Associates. Quote, as with anything, the details are important. I want to take a closer look in this paper that I'm reading at some of President Obama's retirement-related proposals and what experts have to say in response. Let's talk about the expanding the savers credit. Some of you may or may not have heard of this, but the Obama administration is proposing to expand and simplifying the saver credit by matching 50% of the first $1,000 of contributions by families earning up to $65,000 and providing a partial credit to families earning up to $85,000. The administration also wants to make this tax credit refundable, even if taxpayers have no income tax liability. Hello, 911. There should be a warning, Roll Rogers. Warning, Roll Rogers. I mean, you want to give a refund to someone who didn't pay in? How does that work? That mean I can like go to Walmart and say, hey, listen, I thought about buying this. I decided not to, but go ahead and give me a refund. DiCenzo said those measures would go a long way toward promoting retirement security. More than 40% of taxpayers who took the savers credit at the 50% rate had their credit limited by their tax liability, she said, citing early research on the credit. The research also noted that had these taxpayers made the maximum contributions eligible for the credit, 89% would have had their credit limits by their tax liability. Making the credit refundable will solve this problem, DiCenzo said. However, some of the tax credits problems are not addressed by the Obama proposal. Those include the process by which taxpayers claim the credit and the fact that not enough people are aware it exists. The proposal simplifies the calculation, but does it simplify the hoops that taxpayers have to jump through to claim the credit? DiCenzo said research shows, for instance, that 34% of all eligible taxpayers who could have claimed the credit didn't. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know what that tells me? That speaks directly. Look at that. 34% of eligible taxpayers who could have claimed the credit didn't. What does that tell me? That tells me that either folks aren't watching out for, you know, their financial area, or they're not getting coaching or getting educated about what some of their options are. Other research released by Transamerica in 2008, Transamerica is a large insurance company, showed that, among other things, showed that more than 80% of American workers with household incomes less than $50,000 weren't even aware of the savers credit. 80% of the people weren't even aware of it. So what good is a credit no one's aware of? This doesn't mean that the tax preparer didn't claim it for them if they were eligible, but it certainly does suggest that credit wasn't a factor in motivating saving behaviors. What changes would DeCenzo like to see? It would be great if there were a way to make the credit automatic and immediate, because immediate incentives are more effective than ones that are delayed. Boy, that's profound, huh? Still, despite those issues, DeCenzo, I may sound a little cynical here, I apologize, but some of this stuff just, my dad used to say, common sense isn't that common. And I would have to say that's true. Still, despite these issues, DeCenzo said Obama's proposal is an important improvement over the current credit. Obama, this is the automatic IRA I want to share with you. The automatic IRA. Obama wants employers who do not currently offer a retirement plan to enroll their employees in a direct deposit IRA unless the employee opts out. Such a plan would, in effect, create employer-sponsored retirement plans for 78 million workers, the roughly 50% of working Americans who presently do not have a plan at work. Well, boy, I can go on a bunch of tangents on that one, huh? I'm just going to leave that one alone right there, outside of saying, are we a bunch of dumb coughs here or what? I mean, you know, I've been an adult for about 25 years now. You know, I've taken responsibility for myself, just like many of you have. Why is it that the rest of us have to take responsibility for ourselves and the other folks that don't take responsibility for themselves? You know, it's interesting to me. I'm going to leave that alone. Let me go back to the automatic RIA before I go on a rant about taxes and just the lack of common sense and the void of common sense sometimes when it relates to these matters. Under the plan, this is the automatic IRA I'm discussing. Under the plan, workers would automatically have 3% of their pre-taxed earnings go into the IRA. The worker could increase the amount of the automatic deposit or opt out altogether. The money would either be placed into a diversified portfolio, or the worker would have the option to invest that money as he or she sees fit. Gregory G. Seals, Director of Fixed Income and Behavior Finance at CFA Institute, said that similar to the savers credit, research has proven the use and value of the automatic IRA. Well, you know, hey, if you can opt out, that's a different story. I don't want anything mandatory. That's too communistic, socialistic for me personally. I believe in free enterprise, capitalism, innovation. I believe that's what makes the country great. I believe that's what's going to get us out of this credit. We're not in a tax debacle. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, the national debt is not the $15 trillion you've been hearing. Our national debt is $65 trillion. When they talk about the $15 trillion national debt, they're not talking about Social Security and Medicaid, which are unfunded liabilities. $65 trillion. That's like three times. No. It's a lot more than that. It's I want to say it's 10 times all the money, printed money on the globe. Anyway, you know, when we start looking at savings, What's gonna create a higher tax revenue, which is gonna get this debt paid off, is innovation, supply and demand, a productive society, people out there innovating, creating new products, creating new market segments. That's what always has done it, and that's what always will do it. It's not government interceding or intervention that's going to do it. In fact, what it's done is it slowed the process down that we're in right now. Back to the 401k. He said, for instance, that many of the ideas behind proposed changes to defined contribution savings plans, 401ks, and other self-directed retirement plans come from the field of behavioral economics, and more particularly from Richard Thaler, the Case Sunstein book, Nudge. The focus of their research and recommendations for individually directed savings plans recognizes that humans routinely make irrational economic decisions and that they can be encouraged to make better financial decisions which improve their retirement security. Well, i.e. education, right? Education leads to clarity. Clarity leads to confidence. Confidence leads to peace of mind. According to Seals, proponents of plans such as the automatic IRA argue that many individuals do not have the financial knowledge necessary to choose reasonable asset allocation, so the default portfolio should recognize this reality as well as document decisions, errors, and humans make with regards to their investments. Well, geezy Louise, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? Automatic IRA. The Obama administration is calling for improving the transparency of 401ks, which is really an automatic IRA would be a 401k. The Obama administration is calling for improving the transparency of 401k fees to help workers and plan sponsors make sure they are getting investment, record keeping, and other services at a fair price, and promoting the availability of annuities, another form of guaranteed life income, which transforms savings into guaranteed future income. Well, you've been hearing me saying that for years. Not surprising. Many who believe Americans haven't done a good job of building their own pensions are praising the latter proposal. Well, let's see. Should we force people to do something for their own good, treat them like children, or should we start to tax this financial industry and make them step up and focus on education? There's a book on my reading list by Arthur Levitt, the former Securities and Exchange Chairman. I have in my advisor guide, I paraphrased, quoted Chairman Levitt in a statement that I had read that he had written many years ago. I paraphrase something to the effect, I believe that the financial industry spends a pittance on educating fund investors because they believe uneducated investors are more profitable investors for the company. This was the former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's not more regulations. It's not more laws. It's not that type of stuff. It's very simple, common sense understanding of basic financial principles. What is an IRA? What is a 401k? What is a Roth? How are taxes affected? That's, again, why courses like I'm offering, the Retirement Planning Today, look at that. See, boy, that just went right into a commercial, didn't it? Courses like I'm teaching Monday and Tuesday at South Hills are so important. You do not get this financial education anywhere unless you go to school for economics or finance. And then you get a lot of stuff to the point where it's almost overload, okay? Education is, I believe, the answer to, rather than mandating telling people what they should and shouldn't do, I think we should just educate them a little more and let them make those decisions. So, I don't know. What's your opinion? Do you think that companies should be forced to provide IRAs? Do you think that might hurt some of the companies, especially smaller companies? I'm sure they'll probably have a size to that. Do you believe that companies stimulate the economy? Do you believe that the government is what helps the economy or stimulates the economy? Or do you believe it's innovation through free enterprise and people going out and starting businesses and risking? You know, it's interesting. I'm a business owner, small business owner, a few employees. Do you realize that I pay self-employment tax for myself and all my employees? I pay for all these other things. And do you realize that if something happened to my business, I couldn't go collect unemployment? Now, how is that right? I'm the business owner. I've taken the risk. I've employed some people, stimulated the economy. I take the risk. What program can I take advantage of? Nothing. I can't get unemployment. You know, if my business went belly up, I couldn't go get a loan. I mean, you know, you think about the entrepreneur, the person that goes out and risks, whether it be the guy that starts a plumbing business or a tile company or a painting outfit or goes into financial planning or accountant or the doctor. You know, where's the reward for the risk? More government intervention? How does that help anyone? So I don't know. You know, sometimes I get fired up. If more people really understood business and really understood that, hey, the business owner's putting it all on the line, shouldn't they make more money if the business is prosperous? Rather, should they be penalized for that? Well, food for thought. Food for thought for sure. Next week, I'm going to be back in the swing of things a little bit later, a little bit better, ladies and gentlemen. Today was kind of a hodgepodge. I do miss Luke being in here with me. I had some other things that I wanted to go through with you, but they're just too heavy to kind of do by myself. So I just want to talk a little bit about some savings ideas, some encouragement, at the same time, a little bit of the hand of steel and velvet. If you're complaining about where you are, look in the mirror, shut up, get happy, and go fix it, okay? If you're not, yay team, take responsibility. Look, we all have to ultimately. We can all make a difference if we all take a little bit more responsibility, save a little more, take a little more responsibility, not stick our hand out, but stick it back in our pocket and encourage the people around us. You know, great place to live, this country. It's a great place to be. The opportunity abounds for those that see it. I hope this finds you well. We'll talk to you next week. Have a super weekend.